Okay, good evening, everybody. Everybody doing okay?
All right, good.
Rick, would you do me a favor and pray for us, please?
Well, thank you so much for your love. God, we pray that you'd be with us on our new rotation, that your spirit would work. God, that you would strengthen and encourage your servants, and that your will would be done. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen. Okay, well, thank you very much, Richard, again, for allowing us to have this class, allowing me to teach it along with Mike Rao. The class that we're doing here is Seeking and Giving Advice, Wisdom and Loving Correction. Tough class, right? It's going to be a tough class. It's going to be a lot of fun. Just to give a definition of what a proverb is, just in general terms, it's a condensed but memorable saying embodying some important facts of experiences that is taken as true by many people. Another definition is a short, memorable statement giving insight into life. Another definition may be a phrase expressing a basic truth which may be applied to common situations. That's Proverbs in general terms. The Proverbs, of course, that we'll be studying are the Proverbs out of the Bible. And most of the Proverbs, just historically, were written by Solomon, but there's also some accredited to King Lemuel, King Agur, that's A-G-U-R, and also the men of King Hezekiah. So some of the Proverbs can be metaphorical, so in some senses they're not really direct commands, they're very strong suggestions, but you know, as 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Amen? Seeing as Solomon is attributed to a lot of the Proverbs that we'll be reading, I did want to read a little bit about Solomon. And in 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 7 through 15, it says, "Now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king in the place of my father David, but I am only a little child and do not know how to carry out my duties. Your servant is here among the people you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to count or number. So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong, for who was able to govern this great people of yours?" The Lord was pleased that Solomon asked for this, so God said to him, "Since you have asked for this, and not for the long life or wealth for yourself, nor have you asked for death of your enemies, but for discernment and administering justice, I will do what you have asked. I will give you a wise and discerning heart, so there will never have been anyone like you, nor will there ever be." Then in 1 Kings chapter 4, 29 through 34, it just says, "God gave Solomon wisdom and very great insight and a breadth of understanding as measureless as the sand on the seashore. Solomon's wisdom was greater than the wisdom of all the men of the East and greater than all the wisdom of Egypt. He was wiser than any other man, including Ethan the Ezraite, wiser than Heman, Chalcol, and Darda, the sons of Maol, and his fame spread to all surrounding nations. He spoke 3,000 proverbs, and his songs numbered 1,005. He described plant life from the cedar of Lebanon to the hyssop that grows out of walls. He also taught about animals and birds, reptiles and fish. Men of all nations came to listen to Solomon's wisdom, sent by all the kings of the world who had heard of his great wisdom." So Solomon, there was a big brain on Solomon, was it? God granted him a discerning heart. It said it made his heart wise, is what the scripture said. So it'll be good for us to pay attention to these proverbs, long story short. The purpose of Proverbs, if you looked at Proverbs chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for attaining wisdom and discipline, for understanding words of insight, for acquiring a disciplined and prudent life, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to the simple, knowledge and discernment to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance. For understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and the riddles of the wise." So that is our reason for studying Proverbs, you know, so that we can obtain wisdom, so we can have insight into life. And the way this class is basically going to run over the next 3 weeks, we'll have the first week, which is seeking advice. That's what we're going to focus on tonight. The second week, we're going to focus on giving advice. And the third week, we'll focus on wisdom and loving correction. And we want this class to be interactive, and we'll be asking a lot of questions, and we'll expect a lot of feedback. Now, I'm just doing an introduction tonight. Actually, Mike Rowell is going to conduct the majority of the class. And just to give you some insight to me and Mike's relationship, or Mike and I's relationship, either way, me and Mike, you know, God has, as I talked about when I did my lesson on complaining, you know, God has providence over everything. Now, Gary asked me to lead the class, and he had chosen someone else to lead with me, but that brother couldn't do it. So then he asked Mike if he would do it with me. Now, Mike and I work together. We're co-workers. And actually, for a long time, we actually sat closer than we're sitting right now, right across from each other. And Mike has been not only just a co-worker, close friend, a confidant and advisor. You know, we just bounce things over off of each other all the time. And the amazing thing is that we're here doing this class, but Mike and I live this stuff out. I mean, we help each other out all the time. And that's what we would encourage you to do. And without any further delay, my good friend Mike Rowell.
Amen. Amen. How's everybody? Amen. Amen. We're talking about seeking counsel. Amen. And I'm going to just kind of throw out a couple of questions, and please feel free to give me some feedback. Why are people sometimes hesitant to seek counsel from others?
Pride. Afraid that they have to change.
Afraid of change, okay?
Afraid of the truth.
Afraid of the truth.
Sometimes we feel we've gotten bad advice, and so we don't want to do it again.
Wow.
Sometimes there's an issue of feeling weakness, you know, on pride.
Wow. Amen.
I feel like there'll be a burden on somebody.
Amen. Okay, let me throw out another question here. What should we do if we hear something that we weren't expecting? Okay, that's good. And I'm going to add to that. What would you do? What do you do when you give advice and you're not, and it doesn't sound right? What happens when you give somebody gives you advice and it just doesn't sound right? What do you do?
Ask questions.
Ask questions. Okay. Amen.
You ask somebody else.
Amen. Amen.
You pray.
You pray. Amen.
You could ask what you heard. Here's what I heard. Was that what you said?
Amen. Get them to repeat it. Amen. Amen. So tonight, like I said, we're talking about seeking counsel. And if you would turn over to Proverbs, we're going to stay in Proverbs. There's going to be a ton of scriptures on seeking counsel. Amen. And looking up seeking counsel, it says humbly, transparently, and proactively seeking input early in your decision-making process from someone who is able to provide us with careful, considerate, objective, wise advice, which is ultimately in our best interest. When I read that, I was like, whoa, that's great. So my first point is, why should you seek counsel? And in Proverbs 11:14, it says, "For the lack of guidance, a nation falls, but many advisors make victory sure." And see, we should seek counsel because victory is assured when we get input from wise men and women. Amen?
Amen.
But when we don't, it says in the latter part, I mean in the first part of Proverbs 11:14, "For the lack of guidance, a nation falls." And a lot of times when people run into major issues, if you go back, a lot of times it's because of a lack of guidance. Amen? Another reason why we should seek counsel, is wisdom. Proverbs 13:10. Pride only breeds quarrels, but wisdom is found in those who take advice. See, God says you should seek counsel to take advice. And it says pride breeds quarrels. And sometimes we seek counsel and we get defensive behind the advice that is given, and it breeds a quarrel. There's a fight that happens. And another reason why we should seek counsel is to, for your plans to be drawn out, to get help from someone that's wise enough to help you draw your plans out. And it talks about that in Proverbs 20 and verse 5. The purposes of a man's heart are deep waters, but a man of understanding draws them out. Proverbs 13:20. Why should we seek counsel? Proverbs 13:20 says, "He who walks with the wise grows wiser, but a companion of fools suffers harm." And this is something that, you know, I try to communicate to myself on a daily basis, as well as my children. Because, you know, there's a lot of foolish people in this world. And if you are amongst the foolish, you will become foolish. Amen? Amen. Proverbs 15:22. You should seek counsel because you want your plans to succeed. Plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors, they succeed. See, it talks about having many advisors. And I know, you know, years ago, If you were discipling someone and they went to someone else to get advice, you know, they were upset with you. You know, it was almost like, wait a minute, I'm your discipler. Why did you go over here to get advice from Brother Harold over here when I'm the man for you? But the Bible says just the opposite. Yes. It says many advisors. Amen. Who should we seek counsel from? That's a question. I'm going to throw that out there.
The covenant you see is succeeding in what you want to do.
Amen. Amen. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 1. I'm going to read verse 5. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance. So I found that very interesting to see that it says, let the wise add to their learning. You know, and I know many wise men and women that sometimes just, you know, feel like they've kind of arrived, and they don't need to add to their learning. But the Bible says just the opposite. The Bible says we need to continue to add to our learning. Proverbs 15:12. This is who we should not seek counsel from. A mocker resents correction. He will not consult the wise. We should seek counsel from men of understanding and wise men. It says in Proverbs 12:15, the way of a fool seems right to him, but a wise man listens to advice. And I've been there for Christ, just foolish, not wanting to listen, not even to my wife, who I know is my helper, my soulmate, that has my best interest at heart. But sometimes we can have blinders on and not get the help that we need from the people that God has put right there to help us. Amen? We're going to move on. When should we seek counsel? That's another question I'm going to throw out there.
Always.
Always? Amen. Amen. We should seek counsel. It says in Proverbs 20:18, make plans by seeking advice. If you wage war, obtain guidance. You know, you prepare by seeking advice. And we sometimes have the tendency to make plans and already have the plans already drawn out, and we're just seeking approval. We just want someone to give us the rubber stamp. Okay, Mike, I agree with this. This is good. And I've already started the plans. I'm in phase 4 of the plans already. And that tends to get us in trouble. We're seeking approval. We're seeking permission. And we probably know someone or have done it ourselves. So, and I think we'll all agree that when we're seeking counsel, the first source that we need to go to is God. Amen. We need to pray. We need to ask God for guidance. We need to fast. We need to really get God's attention on these matters. Because if we're just going to man or woman first, then we have to see where we have our priorities all mixed up. We really have to take it before our God, who can change anything and everybody. Amen? It says, who should we seek counsel from? And it talks about that again in Proverbs 11:14, an abundance of counselors makes victory sure. In Proverbs 15:22, it says, with many advisors your plans succeed. In Proverbs 24:6, it says, in an abundance of counselors there is victory. And that's, you know, that's something that's tough for us, because it takes a very, very humble man or woman to really go before someone after they have put it before God and say, hey, listen, I need help. I need your input. Because God looks at the heart. And sometimes, you know, I know me as a man, I can really not want to seek that counsel because of how it may look, make me look to man. Now, again, Proverbs 18:13. This is who we should not seek counsel from. Again, He who answers before listening, that is his folly and his shame. Someone is just going to, you hadn't even got everything out, and they're answering it for you. They already have the answers for you. We need to seek counsel from men and women of understanding. Proverbs 14:33. Wisdom rebukes the heart of the discerning, and even amongst fools, she lets herself be known. Proverbs 17:24. Wisdom is in the presence of the one who has understanding. Proverbs 15:2. The tongue of the wise commends knowledge, but the mouth of the fool gushes folly. Proverbs 15:7. The lips of the wise spreads knowledge, not so the hearts of fools. Solomon has a lot to say about who you should seek counsel from. And my question is, do we take that in consideration when we're reaching out and seeking counsel and seeking input? Or are we just, you know, hey, listen, I've been knowing her for a while. You know, I trust him. Whatever he says, that's what I'm going to do. And I love Harold, and he's helped me out a lot over the years. But God has put so many different men and women in my life that I can reach out to and get the proper guidance and help so that victory will be assured. Amen? Amen. It says we should seek counsel from righteous men. Proverbs 15:28. The heart of the righteous weighs its answers, but the mouth of the wicked gushes evil. Proverbs 16:29. A violent man entices his neighbor and leads him down a path that is not good. We really need to be mindful of who we're seeking counsel from. We should also seek counsel from someone that displays love and that's willing to say the tough things to us. I've been married for 17 years, and you know, my wife can really say some things to me that I don't like at times. But she loves me, and she does it in a respectful way. And at times, I don't want to hear it, but I know that she loves me. Proverbs 17:17. Because she's my friend. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born of adversity. Proverbs 28:23. He who rebukes a man will afterwards find more favor than he who flatters him with their tongue. You know, we're not here to try to flatter one another. We're here to help mature one another in Christ. Amen. We should seek counsel from one who is likely to sharpen you as well, because we all need sharpening. Proverbs 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. And when you're seeking counsel, there's a key to that, that Solomon talks about. He says we need to listen and be receptive of the input. You know, there's times where we're seeking counsel, but we've already kind of had the plan already drawn out, so we're listening, but we're not listening. We just want to maybe even show some false humility. Maybe like, okay, I just want to make Harold feel like I'm being humble, so I want to kind of run this by him to see if, you know, how he feels about this. The Bible talks about that as well in Proverbs 12:15. The Bible says, the way of a fool seems right to him, but a wise man listens to advice. Proverbs 22:17. Pay attention and listen to the saying of the wise. Apply your heart to what I teach. Like I was saying, it takes humility to really go to someone and be transparent and seek some input that could change your life. Whether it's about your finances, whether it's about your marriage, whether it's about your children. It takes humility, and it takes someone that's wanting to be like Jesus. And I know for many years, when it came to my children, I did not like input about my children. If there's a sore spot, and some of us can relate, you know, when it comes to our children, we don't want that feedback, especially if it's something that we're like, I really didn't want to hear that. That's my child, and, you know, you keep your advice to yourself. You know, and Harold has really helped me out over the years in that area, just giving me input about my children. And sometimes it's a day or two before I can go back to him and admit my pride and my anger, but it helps. And I thank God for that brother. Proverbs 15:33. The fear of the Lord teaches a man wisdom, and humility comes before honor. And another attitude that we need to have is we need to have a teachable attitude. And sometimes we wonder why our children aren't teachable. We wonder why our children aren't teachable. All we have to do is look in the mirror and say, well, wow, that's me. My son, my daughter is just like me. Goes back to that proverb again, 14:12. And the Bible has this particular saying in there twice. There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. We need to have a teachable attitude. We need to expect some sort of correction or constructive criticism, and we need to be receptive to that. Proverbs 15:10, it says, he who hates reproof will die. Proverbs 19:20 says to listen to counsel and accept discipline that you may be wise the rest of your days. Proverbs 12:1 says, he who loves discipline loves knowledge, but he who hates correction is stupid. After I read that, I said, I do not want to be a stupid man. I don't want God calling me stupid. But he says here, if you don't like correction, he considers you stupid. Proverbs 27:5-7. Better is open rebuke than hidden love. Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. And see, when we're seeking that counsel, when we're going to those individuals, let's not shop around like we're shopping at Sam's and Walmart and, you know, all these other stores trying to figure out or find out exactly what we want to hear. And we do that at times. We want to shop around until we get to door number one. Yeah. Behind door number one is exactly what I want to hear. So, hey, I'm going to stay right here and forget about the rest of the advice. We need to make sure we're being open about all the information when we're seeking guidance. We need to give the whole story. And not just half of the story. You need to give that person as much information as possible to help you. And then the last thing you need to do, if you need to implement it and take action. If it's your heart to seek that counsel, you want to take that and you want to implement that. You want to take some sort of action. And with that action, you want to make sure that you pray and pray and pray that God is leading you down the right path. Seeking counsel is something that, you know, people in the world do when their whole life is falling apart. And see, what makes us different as disciples, We don't have to do that.
Yep.
We don't have to do that. Amen?
Amen.
You know, I call it preventive maintenance. Amen. We can get input early in the process when we see it coming down the road. Get the input. Be humble. And trust that God has put the right man or woman in your life to give you that input. And I'm gonna read a couple of the top 10 things to think about when you're seeking counsel. You want to start early in the process. And I know I got up here maybe a month ago or so and talked about a coffee shop that I went in with some disciples. And it went great for the first 6 to 8 months. It was beautiful. But I did not seek the counsel. I did not seek many advisors. I just talked to that one little group, and they were like, yeah, this is it. This is wonderful. But God had men and women all around me that I did not take advantage of. And because of that, church leaders had to come down and really help the entire group because, you know, we were all in sin. It was horrible. So start early in the process. Take full responsibility for the decisions. Weigh the cons and the pros. Don't blame someone else for your decisions. That we can't play the blame game.
Amen.
You know, we're all grown when we're seeking counsel, and then we decide to do something. Don't blame people for your decisions. Amen. And avoid the lazy man or woman's approach. You really don't want to think through it. You really don't want to pray through it. You just want a quick fix. Let me just get this quick fix, because I really don't feel like I can go through this. So let me just get something quick and move on. Avoid that. Talks about being proactive, being humble. Humility is huge. Humility is huge in seeking counsel. Be transparent. Be thankful. Thank that brother or sister for taking their time to listen to you and wanting to help you. And be flexible. It says, seek counsel from the wise, people with a proven track record of wise decision making. And someone mentioned that tonight. Now, you know, another question I want to throw out there is, do you just seek counsel on just life changing situations? Or does it really matter when you're seeking counsel? Anybody? Doesn't matter. Is any issue too small to seek counsel on? Is there any situation that you can think about sitting here that you're like, man, I should have sought counsel on this particular situation? And see, God loves us. He puts all of us right here as a body of believers to really help each other. And I want to encourage us, church, to really, really consider your decisions. Pray about them. Seek counsel. Don't respond right away to counsel. If Harold is giving me some input, I need to consider it. Then I know I need to go and take it before God in prayer. Be prepared to wait. Don't be hasty. Because God is patient. If you think the counsel that you receive is in line with God's will for your life, why not take action? Why don't we take action? So, church, I hope that the scriptures that God has put on our heart tonight has helped us to really think more about seeking counsel. Because Solomon was the wisest man on the face of the earth. He has a lot to say about seeking counsel. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Thanks a lot, Mike. I did want to ask a couple follow-up questions. Just how do we feel about all of this? I mean, seriously, about seeking advice. Mike read a lot of scriptures. You know, but are we doing that? Are we seeking advice in all areas of our lives? I know for me, you know, part of the reason I came to this ministry is because there's a lot of mature people here, a lot of wise people in this ministry. And, you know, like Mike said, I'm going through a whole nother phase of life. My kids are in college now, and it's just a whole new thing. So, you know, I decided to come over here, my wife and I, and we're getting some help, you know, and I just want to encourage everybody to do that. Not only with your kids, if you don't have kids, in your marriage, all phases of your life. And one thing that I did want to talk about as well is seeking advice. Mike said you got to seek advice on a consistent basis. I mean, how many people are consistently getting with somebody? Maybe raise your hand high. It's not a lot of us. It's not a lot. Not the way we need to be. You know, and for God to really work in our lives, that's what we need to do. Richard mentioned something in the beginning of the class, is that sometimes we're hesitant to get advice or to seek counsel because we might have had a bad experience in the past. Mm-hmm. And, you know, since we're family, we can put it out there that we know, those of us that have been around a long time, that, you know, we might have gotten some bad advice down the road. I know I've given bad advice, you know, at one time or another. Can anybody relate to that? Yeah. You know, but the scriptures are the scriptures, you know. And God wants you to still put your heart out there, put your life out there, you know, so he can work through somebody to help you in your life. And so we can't throw the baby out with the bathwater. That's the expression. You know, we can't just throw the whole thing out. So, again, just want to encourage you this week, you know, because we're going to go on to another topic next week. But this week, you know, just try to seek some advice on things, you know. And there's nothing that's too small, because a lot of times if you can get input on that small thing, you won't have a big thing to talk about later on. You know, it's not a proverb in the Bible, but a stitch in time saves nine. You know that one, right? You know, so that's what we want to do, is take things from the beginning. But thank you so much for your time, and we're going to pick this up next week with actually giving advice.
Amen. Mike Harrell, thank you so much. You know, it's great to be in the kingdom of God, because we have an incredible opportunity to bounce things off of people. And I think, you know, like they said, a lot of times we're waiting for big things. And it's little things. It's, you know, pulling a brother aside who's been married for 25 years, you know, bro, how can I be a better husband? Something as simple as that. How can I be a better wife? How can I serve my husband better? How can I serve my wife better? Help me with my kids. Here's what I've noticed. You know, with people that I've had the experience and I've gone through that. And the questions are not being asked. Because, let's just be honest, I think we're very proud. I think we're looking at, how am I going to look asking these questions? You know, our elders get up a lot of times and they tell us, their phones are not ringing. And their phones need to be ringing. And you may think, oh, I don't want to be a bother. No. Do you need the help? Do you want the help? And I think we need to be asking questions. It doesn't mean we don't think. It doesn't mean, you know, others do our thinking for us. But it means that we want to be better disciples. Amen. We want to be our best in everything. Right. Yep. And it's amazing, you know, when that's our attitude, God will use people to really impact us and to really help us. If not, you know, there will be a price to be paid.
That's right.
You know, the Bible says a man reaps what he sows. Yep. Okay, and that is true at all levels. That if we're not seeking input, that, believe me, you are going to pay a price. And sometimes it's a very heavy one, you know, much later. And all the Bible is telling us to do is, you know what, seek counsel. Yes, I've been burnt in the past. And guess what? I'm going to be burnt again in the future. That's just life. You know, you've given bad advice, and I've given bad advice. So we're all in the same boat. But it doesn't mean, okay, well, you know, I got bad advice over there, and so I'm not asking any more questions. I'm just going to live my life. Well, you watch what happens in a few years. You watch what happens in a few months, if you've not already started seeing the effect of it. And so it's very, very important when God tells us to seek counsel, to seek help, that we go ahead and do it. There is not an option in this. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And so, like the brother said, next week we will continue. It will be a different lesson. And we got 9 weeks of this, you know, taking this book apart. Amen? I'm going to close out with a word of prayer. Let us pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you so much, Lord, for our brothers and sisters. We thank you, Father, that you put us in a body of believers that can really help us. Father, it's amazing to think that we can help each other and we don't have any ulterior motives, that we're not doing this for money. We're doing it because we want to help each other and want to help each other succeed in this life and ultimately make it one day to heaven. Father, I pray, Lord, that we will humble ourselves before you. We'll humble ourselves before one another and ask questions and seek input and seek the guidance and the help from other people that can really help us. Father, we're so grateful, Lord, again, Father, for all your blessings. Give us a great weekend, Father, to the glory of your name. We ask and pray all these things in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. 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 We're dismissed.